Amen. First of all, I want to say big thank you to Pastor Benro and Pastor Tope for inviting me here. Now he's talking about a miracle, and you know, like he said, context. But for me, from my own context, the miracle is that a church can set up a meeting to welcome someone that they have never seen before in their lives. So for me, that's a miracle. But people even ask me, they say, this place you are going, do you know the person? I said, no. I said, and they are expecting you, and they are setting up a meeting for you. What if they are not there? No, don't worry. Hallelujah. So for me, that's the miracle. And I call it the miracle of goodwill. Hallelujah. So I just want to acknowledge you and respect you and thank you and to honor you. And I remember there was a meeting I attended at Nottingham, and how did it start? It started from Twitter. I met Pastor Benro on Twitter. And there was this guy who, he loved my tweets on Twitter, and then he approached me and said, will you come to our church in Nottingham? And I said, yeah, fine, speak to your pastor. If they want me to come, why not? So he said he will speak to his pastor. And then 2 weeks later, he came back and said, oh, pastor said he can come. So we set up a meeting with the youth. So he set up this meeting, and I went over with my daughter. My daughter plays the violin, so we both went as a team. And I mean, these guys were just, they were just buzzing and excited. That was the most excited church I've seen in the UK. You know, you get more noise in praise and worship over here than in the UK, but these guys were absolutely wild. You know, and at the end of the meeting, and of course I was introduced as Pastor Shala. We'll come to this Pastor Shala thing later on. So I was introduced as Pastor Shala, and I just ministered the way the Lord led me to minister. Now, at the end of the meeting, the man came out and said that, well, the pastor said to give an address. And then he said to me, he said, look, actually, when this gentleman came to me to say that they wanted to bring you to the church, my first reaction was that, I don't know this guy, so why do you want to bring him to the church? So he said, okay, send me all his links, his website and everything, and let me check it out. So the man went through my website, went through my publications, said, okay, let's bring him. He said, even when he told the guy that he was still highly skeptical, So, but at the end of the meeting, the man said that he just could not believe what he had seen. And his parting words to me was that, please, next time we invite you, please come. Hallelujah. So I give God all the glory for that, and that started all the way from Twitter, from people. In fact, the guy who invited me, I was also seeing him for the first time, so we had to be describing ourselves on the phone, you know, to meet at the station. So it's such a joy, and that actually has to be God who is opening such doors for us. So that's the first, that's my first introduction. The second one is just about the audience, and I want to ask if you are my follower on Twitter and you are here based on the invitations from Twitter. I want to see your hands there. I just want to see the impact of social media. So you follow me on Twitter, right? And so you're seeing me for the first time, obviously. Hallelujah. We give God all the praise. Now we're here for a relationship hangout, and really for me, the high point for me, or more like, you see, everyone has his own emphasis, area of emphasis. So mine is relationship. So not just the boy-girl relationship, But there are other relationships too that we don't talk about so much because we are just interested in the boy-girl one. And I call these relationships, at times I call them spiritual relationships. At times I call them covenant relationships. Covenant relationships because they are not like boy-girl relationships that you just walk out of when you are not in the mood. And I call them spiritual relationships also because they are actually a spiritual connection and they give birth to certain things in your life, in the natural, ultimately. So, and when I meet people, what I try to do is to check in my spirit and be asking God that, is there a relationship coming out of this? Is there a spiritual relationship being birthed over here? And the moment I realize that something like that is about to happen, I open my doors, you know, to such people. And most times you don't even know that it's going to even end up that way, but somehow I just know in my spirit that there is a connection somewhere, and I know that, oh, okay, this is not the kind that you just walk away from, even when you are offended. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful to God that I meet people, you know, on social media, and somehow I'm able to make that connection as though I'd actually met them, you know, face to face. And one of them is Noella here. Hallelujah. I also met her on social media. And the first time I saw her, I actually invited her to minister in that program. It was actually the first time I was meeting Noella. I didn't even recognize her. Hallelujah. And we had had conversations on the phone. And you see, when I speak with people, I can, you know, like by the Spirit of God, I can tell that, oh, okay, something is being birthed here. And you see, the person that came to minister here, I've heard her story, and we spoke, you know, quite at length. And you see, it's one thing to be told to lead praise and worship, but it's another thing to have gone through adversity, gone through, you know, like huge adversity, and still come out of it with a song. Hallelujah. And that was it, really, when I spoke with her. And then I came in touch with her music, and I was listening to it, and I just thought, what she's gone through is enough to make anyone go crazy, is enough to say, look, God, I don't even want you again. I'm gone. For me, if she said that, I won't even argue with her. But to still be on our feet, shouting and jumping and singing, praising and worshiping, for me that was a miracle. So that was why I said, look, you need to come to my event and minister. And it was so awesome. Every time I see her ministering, I just want to start crying. That's exactly the way I feel. Amen. So thank God for your life, and thanks for coming along. We met on social media as well. So great things are happening on social media. Hallelujah. So I think we're getting to the point now where we'll start the business. Okay. And just before we start, I also just want to introduce, maybe say a little bit about myself and my family and the ministry that we're operating. I got married 22 years ago yesterday. So, and I've sent the links to my wife and daughter. I don't know if they're watching now, and they are very ardent supporters of what I do. And over there, back home in the UK, they actually, you know, go along with me from church to church, you know, to, you know, just to watch me minister and to learn. And also I also end up saying a few things that I forgot to tell her when we were cutting. Hallelujah. And I really thank God for her life, and it's such a joy. Our daughter came 10 years after we got married, almost 10 years after we got married, and she is a miracle to us. Oh, and by the way, I want to say congratulations to Pastor Benro. Yeah, as well. Hallelujah. And how did this whole thing start? It started on social media. It started actually on Twitter. What I was doing on Twitter was I'll just write out some statements. You know, just write out some statements, you know, about the things I know about the things of God. I just write them out. In fact, I would even almost say I'll just write them out for fun. And one day, someone asked a question. And I think I just have that thing that when someone asks a question, you know, like on social media, and I think I know the answer, I would just reply to the person that, oh. So I think the person was asking that, how can you, was something to do with marriage? And I answered that question. I said, look, I said two things. I said, you must be sure that who you are marrying is God's choice for you, or more like God approves of that choice, whichever camp you believe belong to. And that secondly, even if everything is fine in terms of God's approval, you also need to ensure that you have dealt with soul ties coming in from your past. Because no matter how good and how glorious your situation is, your attachment to things from your past are significant enough to distort what is going on. Hallelujah. And if around that time we saw stories on social media of certain things that happened, you know, to certain people that we respect, and what tends to happen is that many Christians get discouraged and say, oh, why did this happen to this man? Some others get vindictive and say, oh, he calls himself this, and then this happened. But when I look at it, I just thought, look, whether you're a minister or you're not a minister, the path that we're going to walk is the same. The difference is that if you're a minister, you are visible, that's all. So we are facing the same challenges, you understand? So, as a man, can I up the level now? I can up the level. Okay. So, you know that typically when a man wakes up in the morning, he feels an erection. So, whether he's a minister or he's not a minister, he will feel the same way. You understand? So, to now think that because he's a minister, he will be exempted from that process is delusion. So what has been happening now is delusion, because you think that the anointing is enough to erase my bodily functions. Huh? No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So I began to, you know, realize these things. So I began to put them out on social media. And after the first series of tweets I wrote out about soul ties, people were just like, wow, what is this? Where did this come from? And people began to get in touch with me to say, okay, we want to discuss a bit more with you, a bit further with you. And I actually got very busy. So I was actually making phone calls with my own money to call these people, Singapore, Malaysia, US, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda. I call any of these countries. I just say to the person, don't worry, I will call you with my money. So I always on the phone to all these people. I call them straight. And I stay as long as it takes to make sure that they understand these things. So as a result, I began to see people get delivered from stuff like fornication, inappropriate relationships, adultery, masturbation, porn addiction. So I began to see people delivered. And because I come from a faith camp where, okay, I don't actually have to see you to be able to get the word across to you. So, and the basic formula that I was teaching people is that, okay, if we now identify that there is a problem, you now need to get your word of faith out and begin to speak it against the problem. So, and honestly, I didn't need to be there to lay hands on you for you to be able to do that. So, remotely, I've been getting testimonies from people that I had never seen before in my life. Hallelujah. So, in 2014, these people now started writing me, a lot of them from Nigeria, said, oh, come and hold a meeting, we even want to see you now. So I said, I'll wait till God gives me the go ahead. I couldn't come in 2014. But in 2015, said, okay, we're going to have a meeting. And it was awesome. We did not have a radio advert. We didn't have a TV advert. We didn't have a newspaper advert. It was just on social media. We had people running around to go and get the hall. I was still sitting in UK. We paid for a hall, NECA Event Center. We did all that, all remotely. By the time I arrived, a lady who had been blessed by what we were doing said, oh, how many seats are in this hall? 500, okay. I'm going to make small chops and bring water for all 500 people on my money. Don't worry about it. I was like, well, now all these people, I had not seen them before in my life. I had not seen them before. So we actually had a very great meeting. Now, during that meeting, it was very interesting. I told them I was going to have 3 sessions. And usually my style is that you should come out, someone should come out and give a testimony, if there is a testimony. So I got people to start coming out to give testimonies. Now they took all the time for the first session. And then they took almost all the time for the second session. And then people started tweeting me during the meeting that we are watching this thing and we actually want to hear you talk, because it looks like the testimonies might spill over into the third session. You know, into the third session. So I said, okay, I will talk. Don't worry, I'll take the third session. And it was such a glorious time. And then on the wings of that, I now got the publication out, Breaking Soul Ties. And you see, what I like about the book is that in the 7th chapter, there are testimonies there. And those testimonies had been sent in before the book was written. Most books that I've read, you write the book first, people will read the book, and then they will send the testimonies over. So it was like I actually had the testimonies before writing the book. So if you don't read any part of the book, just read chapter 7. It's got testimonies there of people who got delivered, you know, from all sorts. Hallelujah. So that's how, you know, the ministry has come to this point. Towards the beginning of, I think towards 2016, because most of my activities is through, like, you know, talking to people, counseling people, chatting with people, and actually enjoy it, to be honest. I can sit down with one person for 6 hours. I did that yesterday. Yeah, I sat down with one person for 6 hours just to get her to talk. Hallelujah. But then the Lord began to, like, open a new door into congregations. That, okay, you've done all this outside the church, and I do all my stuff outside the church. So it's like, as I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to you under the church context, and I'll explain that to you later. So that now you need to start going into churches, and that the things that have been happening in people's lives, they're actually Christians I'm dealing with too, but outside the church context. That you need to carry this message into the churches. And that's the reason why God is opening this sort of doors. Somebody just walks up and says, will you come to my church? And then it happens. So it's actually God. Now, I've been reading Pastor Gbero's advert. And he kept on saying, there was one particular one that was interesting, where he talked about the Shola Adio on social media. And, you know, like, the Pastor Shola that teaches the word, you know, that sort of a thing. It's almost like I have two identities. Hallelujah. So there's the Pastor Shola identity, which is very good. It opens doors into churches. And there's the unkushala identity. Hallelujah. And you see, the unkushala expresses himself differently from Pastor Shola. Now, Uncle Shola gives it out raw, unfiltered. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know some pastors read my tweet and they just shake their heads. I said, man, we can't handle this guy. Hallelujah. So, I remember I got invited to a church in Lagos, and this guy reads all my tweets on social media. He really loved my tweets. So what he wanted was that he wanted the person whose tweet he was reading to come to his church and, you know, he's like, express himself exactly that same way. Exactly that same way. Now, this was a very conservative church. The resident pastor was in that service, and then he actually came up to introduce me. You know all the terms that I use on social media. He mentioned them, and then he said, over to him. And I just looked. I just thought, nah, we don't want to do Bozo and Boaz here, man. Nah. I just told everybody straight there. I said, this is Pastor Shola speaking. and we are in church, and we are going to be of our best behavior. You know, we are going to be of our best behavior. So, but the good thing is that the advantage with the Uncle Shola side is that once I'm operating on that frequency, we say it as it is, and we can get down to the real business. And you see, the problem we're having is that in church, we're finding it difficult to get down to the real business. Because what happens is that we come to church with a mask. Everybody come, we all come with our mask, and we'll be of our best behavior, but stuff is happening. Hallelujah. Stuff. When I say stuff, I mean stuff is happening. And you see, when people contact me privately, the kind of things they say are things that I cannot even say half on the pulpit, so I don't discourage your Christianity. Seriously, I can't say half from the pulpit, so I don't discourage your Christianity. And even the testimonies, there are some testimonies that the church as it is now is not ripe enough to hear about. Hallelujah. So there are some testimonies now. You just receive those testimonies from God in private and just be thanking God in private. Because if you come out, say, Pastor Ogede comes out and now says that he's been battling with porn addiction for the last 4 years, that may discourage your Christianity. But the truth of the matter is that over 50% of the born-again church in the world have porn on their computers. So if over 50% have, therefore, it's sure banter, there must be pastors among them. There must be deacons among them. So, but how will a deacon now come next Sunday and say, I want to share my testimony. I used to have 10 gigabytes of porn. You know, you just chop his testimony in private and just be thanking God in private because you are not ready for it. Hallelujah. So, but you see, where the real problem is that if you don't even know what to do about it, the thing will just be eating you underneath. just eating you underneath, and you don't know who to tell. You don't know who to talk to. Hallelujah. So that's why it's important. This kind of message is important. And when I wrote the book, the way I structured it was that it's like a self, well, I won't call it self-help. I don't like the expression self-help. But it's like you taking out the Word of God and putting the Word of God to practice to get yourself delivered. Hallelujah. Because that personal aspect, I felt, had not been adequately addressed. And you see, if you cannot really come out to say to the body that I have this problem, then it will be difficult for you to get the deliverance. Hallelujah. So when I'm speaking with and the people I speak with who are Christians, they don't, you see, when they come, now of course, maybe they have an inkling, okay, this guy might be a pastor, but when they start talking to me, they are saying things that they would not say to their pastors. Right? They are saying things that they would not say to their pastors. And at some point, I had to like slow down, like on the pastor identity, so that they don't tie me with their pastor. So it's like, oh, okay, can I talk to you about this? I say, yes, talk to me. So even when you are feeling uncomfortable, I make you feel comfortable. I say, no, don't worry. Me too, I did talk, so let's talk. Hallelujah. And then we begin to talk. And you see, when it comes to the surface, we can nip it in the bud, and then we can kill it. Hallelujah. And that's how this message has grown, you know, like to help people, you know, and all the rest. So that's breaking soul ties, in a nutshell. So that's why, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I was introduced to her as a pastor. So I was trying to get some things out of her, and it was proving difficult. So I just said, okay, you know what, scratch the pastor. Now this is Uncle Shola speaking. So how did I sell the Uncle Shola to her? I said, okay, this guy you're looking at started having sex as a teenager, started chain smoking before he got into university. By the time he got into university, he had been around the block until he got arrested at 18. So by the time I said that to her, she just calmed down. Okay, so we can talk now. So it's like, look, I'm familiar with all this stuff. I know this stuff well. I know it well. So let's talk. And then we could talk. And then we could start, you know, like making some progress. So that's the flip between the Uncle Shola and the Pastor Shola. Pastor Bero wants two of them tonight. Pastor Shola and Uncle Shola. So we are going to take a vote. Who do you want? Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now, most of us here, we probably have issues, you know, maybe about relationships with the opposite sex, maybe like dating relationships, or even some of us marriage relationships. So maybe we'll have challenges in that area. But I want to mention one or two other relationships that are very powerful and can influence things a lot, especially for singles. And so I'm going to talk just a little bit about those relationships for the rest of my time. It cost money to be here, so I didn't come to tell you how to be romantic. Hallelujah. I'm sure you have enough manuals and trainings and teachings on that, you know, to be romantic. So I would rather go for this more serious stuff. Hallelujah. For me, when I hear stories, okay, like there was a lady who I spoke with about 2 years ago. She said to me that she was 24 and she had already been in and out of 7 relationships at 24. 7. I just thought, man, you must be strong. One heartbreak is enough for me. I'm not doing it again. Hallelujah. And you see, when I hear these things, I always start thinking that why? What can be done? Because if I'm going into a relationship with you, and then 6 months later I'm going to be out of it with a heartbreak, my brain, my science, computer science brain is telling me that I shouldn't have gone into it. I shouldn't have gone into it. It was going to waste my time. I shouldn't have bothered. That's what my technical brain is telling me. So the next question to me was like, how could I have avoided this situation? What could have been done to avoid it? So I began to look again. One of the things we learned back in those days, when we used to run around as very young boys in church, under the pastor and under the bishop, was this message called The Majesty of His Voice. It was one old tape then, Majesty of His Voice. I must have listened to that tape maybe like over 100 times. And I would hear the man of God say things like, we do not move except the Lord has commanded. Now, I was a single person then. So everything I was hearing was in the context of my life. So I was not yet married. And here was a man preaching, we do not take a step except the Lord has commanded it. I said, okay. So I said, I will add that one to my store of knowledge, which is that I am not married now. I have not started a relationship. So it also means that if I'm actually going to start one, I shall not move except the Lord has commanded. Hallelujah. There was a school of thought that says that after Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, a school of thought, they say that God no longer involves himself in your decision making as to who to marry, so that you will not blame him if things go south like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. As much as it sounds nice, I don't follow it. Because Jesus said that I can of myself do what? Nothing. Except. So if Jesus, a whole King of Kings and Lord of Lords, says that he will not do anything except he hears from the Father, I think the most important decision of your life must come under that umbrella. Hallelujah. So I took that on board. And so the journey is that we want to know what God's opinion is. And let me tell you something. God has an opinion about everything in your life. Your friends have an opinion. Your father has an opinion. Your mother has an opinion. Your squad has an opinion. But God also has an opinion. Whose opinion is the most important is the issue now. You need to determine whose opinion is the most important. I remember one day, the wife that I married now when I began to feel some movement that I'm getting drawn towards this person, I told two of my friends, I said, I'm seriously considering Munisola. And one of them said, but she's not fine now. Hallelujah. That was his opinion, right? But you see, the issue was that I already had God's opinion before I told him. So that did not matter to him. And seriously, she's fine. You needed to see the picture I posted about her yesterday. You like it. So that was his opinion. And you see, it's very easy for you to be swayed by the opinion of your squad. Hallelujah. Especially if they are not in the Spirit. Especially if they are not in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So I began to develop some teachings. I call it how to believe God for a spouse. They're out there on my blog, www.breakingsoulties.com. So there's a page there that has to do with how to believe God for a spouse. And I have 48 teachings on that. Very powerful. And in those teachings, I taught clearly that, look, the moment you begin to consider a person, the moment it begins to occur to you that as you have a relationship with this person, you need to start committing that decision into the hands of God. You need to lift it before God. Now, you see, this is where my own message is different from the motivational one. I belong to the spirit camp. You understand? spirit camp. That's where I come from. So, if you are not talking to me at that level, anything can collapse. So I made it clear that you need to put this thing before God before going too far. And I've had amazing results. There was a lady who listened to those teachings, and of course, thank God this is the Holy Ghost church, so we speak in tongues, right?
Yes,
hallelujah. So I also wrote it there. I said, the moment you see something coming, start praying in tongues about it. The Bible says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak mysteries unto God. Said you are speaking mysteries unto God, and also you are praying about things you don't know. When you pray in tongues. So if this person is coming, there are many things about this person you don't know. The Bible says that no man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit which is in that man. So it means that I don't know your things, but the Spirit of God knows your things. So when I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit can guide me correctly about you. So there was this lady who listened to that teaching, and she would just pray in tongues, just commit things to God when a guy is coming. So she attended this wedding. This was very funny. She attended this wedding, and she met this guy. And this guy was all nice, wanted to set something up, you know, like, okay, are you free, you know, let's date and all the rest. And the guy was moving, you know, quite quickly anyway. And you know how ladies do mostly, you know, it's like maybe a prospect comes, you want to tell your closest friend, you know, that, oh, one guy came and we're talking, you know. And you see, because I taught this thing that, you know, pray in tongues and you don't know how it's going to happen. Just watch and pray, and the Lord knows how to arrange everything. So guess what? Our closest friend was the person that got married, the lady that got married. So she went to see the lady maybe like a week or two later, and was gisting her that, oh, at your wedding, you know, one guy came, oh, blah 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 blah, you know, just gisting yours, you know, and then she mentioned the guy's name. And the lady that got married just got started to say, what? That's my in-law now. He's married. Hallelujah. That was how the Lord rescued her from Wahala. Hallelujah. I'm happy you guys are laughing now. There was another one. These are testimonies I was sent, you know. There was another one. Oh, dear. This guy was talking to her and claimed to be a Christian, you know, and all the rest. And at some point, the guy mentioned the subject of sex, and this is sex before marriage, as in he was interested in then beginning to get sexual, even though, yeah, fine, let's date, but also let's get sexual. So, you know, because of my, you know, my teaching, my stand on those things, she just said, no, this is not happening. That I'm not interested, I'm not doing this. Okay. I think she moved to another town in the country. So she went to look for a church. She went to look for a church where she would worship. And then she got into this church. This brother was the leader of prayer. And the guy was married with 3 kids. Hallelujah. Those stories, they're plenty. they are plenty. In fact, it was as bad as one girl on Twitter actually wrote on her profile, "This is the daughter of Shola Adio." So that when you are coming, you don't know, there's no time for nonsense here. Hallelujah. And seriously, if you write my name like that, you are actually spoiling market for yourself. But then, she's marrying this year. And the guy said, when I saw that name on her profile, I knew this is a person I can trust with my life. And I've spoken with the guy. The guy is so happy. They're getting married this year. Hallelujah. So that's what a relationship can do to you. But where did we start from? Hearing God. God knows where the potholes are. He knows where the potholes are. And you need to develop a relationship with Him. He has an opinion about who you marry. He has an opinion. And you need to take that opinion very seriously. Very, very seriously. Very seriously. Now, just like a baby learns to walk for the first time and falls down and then gets up again, the process of hearing God also is like that. You don't get perfect at it when you start. Hallelujah. So, and you see, God has provided some aid to help us in the process. And those aids are what I call spiritual or covenant relationships. So it means that at a point in your spiritual life, there are times where people will come and they will speak into your life, or they will pick things about you, especially your leadership, and say those things. And those things will help to protect you. They will help to protect you. And then also, I'll mention a little bit about credibility as well. You know, your relationship within the house. Now, I will put myself under a leadership that is stronger than me, that prays more than me, hallelujah, and that is more advanced than me. So, which then means that if I don't pick it, they will pick it. Hallelujah. I'm doing my best, though, not that I'm just sitting doing nothing. But if I don't pick it, they will pick it. Hallelujah. So that's very important. And also, another way God leads us, like, look at that lady. She just went into the church and saw the guy there in the church, that the guy was the leader of prayer. So God also leads people unconsciously. But the way it starts is make sure you are praying in the Spirit, and make sure you are open to the Spirit of God, and make sure you are not in a hurry. Bible says that if you are in a haste, you will not be innocent. You will cut corners if you are in a haste. Hallelujah. So you need to make sure that you are not in a hurry. Nobody hurries me into such things. Hallelujah. I once tried to date somebody. We're in church then, and you know I'm very tall. Hallelujah. I'm very tall in the spirit. So this lady was taller than me. Hallelujah. And by the way, my wife is taller than me. So this lady was taller than me, and seriously, I'm not easily intimidated. Let's put it that way. So if I meet you, even for the first time, we sit down, we start talking, you'll be shocked how deep and okay. So this lady, I started talking to her, and things were moving quite quickly. You know, in 2 weeks, I knew where she was living. She knew where I was living. In fact, when we even go out, she'd drive my car. So my friends were even already wagging their heads that, this girl is driving your car? Okay. So one day, she invited me to her office, and I went there, and then she said, you need to decide now whether we're going to get married or not. I said, wait, oh. I need to pray to know whether we will marry or not, whether God wants us to marry or not. She said that decision had to be made right there and then, on the spot. I said, they don't do this. She insisted. I said, and to be honest, I really like the girl. So I just said, look, you know what? I cannot make that decision now. I mean, that will be a violation of my covenant principles, that I can't just make that decision now, then discover that I was a wrong one, and then tell you 3 weeks later that I'm going. I'm not going to do that. So give me time. She said, no. I said, okay. You know what? I then told her straight. I said, look, if you insist that I make a decision now, I think it's better for me to say that it's not happening, so we can go our various ways. So I had to say that. Why? She was in a haste. And you see, if you are in a haste, you will not be innocent. Hallelujah. Except the Lord has commanded, we don't move. So that's one way. Like I said, the unconscious leading is there, where God can lead you into something. Like, you can just go somewhere. You can just go somewhere and you meet someone there, and something just happens, and everything just clicks to you that, okay, now everything is clear to me. I know what to do. That's unconscious leading. I'll give you an example of unconscious leading. There was another girl I was talking to. You wonder, I have so many of these girls I spoke with before I met my wife. So I was speaking with her in church, and things appeared to be moving on quickly, and I really liked her too. And then what happened? I was driving home one day on Ogba Road, and I thought I heard God say to me, just turn into her street. And her street was very dark, very dark. You know, never taking light, like they say. So I got to her house, knocked on the door. The mother opened the door and said, so and so person is not home. So I just thought, God said I should come. That maybe I didn't hear well, because if God said I should come to see her, she should be at home. So I turned back and said, let her know that I came. Goodbye, ma. I went into the car, started the car. As I was driving up like this, I put on my headlamps. I just saw the girl hand in hand with one nigger coming. So I signed the full bill to be sure she was the one. And then I asked her, I said, where were you last night? She told me one good lie. And then I asked her again. She was just lying through her teeth. I said, nah. The Lord has spoken. That's why the Lord wanted me to go there. Hallelujah. So that was unconscious. You can just have a nudge to go to somebody's office. And then what you've been praying about for the last 2 weeks, you can just see the answer clearly right in front of you. So that's unconscious leading. Now about your relationships, there are times that people who are more keen in the spirit can pick things ahead of you. There was a time I wanted to, the same lady who said I should make that decision, I had a bunch of friends who were running around in those days, you know, in school, and we were all prayerful people who were Christians, and actually Pastor Cody was one of them. Yeah. So I remember when they first started noticing that girl, and the way we communicated was through jokes, so you actually had to read in between the lines. You actually had to read in between the lines, you know, to get the message of what was being said. Now, of course, I can report Pastor Cody here. What he did to me was that he wrote on a piece of paper, AD, Jawo Ninu Apotiyo, Kogbomila Kano, and I went to stick it on my car. If you don't speak any Yoruba, it means that stop meddling with soup that is not drawing. I'm going to put the kettle on the fire for all cross people. Hallelujah. So I got the message, but it was like, I was just like, this guy should just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I like this girl. So when that, in fact, after I told the girl that, well, we have to make a decision on that, I'm not doing, since you want me to make that decision, she just went ballistic on me. She started ranting, shouting, and in fact, I just said, look, but I wish this did not end this way. She just ran towards me and tried to give me one slap like this. I just took off, because I just thought, we attend the same church. If a fight broke out in our office, they would say I was the one who went to look for trouble. I said, let me just run away. So that was how I ran. So you see, that's how God can, you know, speak to you through your close relationships. It can highlight things to you. Things that, because you know, when you start falling in love, there are some things you are just blind to. They are just blind. You're just blind to them. But some relationships can pick it ahead of you and say that, young man, this thing. Or young lady, this thing. And God has used me to point such things out to a few people in the past. I just say, this area, watch it all. So that's why we have a leadership in this church. Don't just go and pick anybody on the road and mess your life up and collect one heartbreak, and then you are coming to church wondering whether God is real. You know, let somebody know. Let somebody know. When I met the person I married, I took her straight to Bishop Oyedepo's office. Straight. You will know the people I'm mingling with. Seriously, I just went straight to the office. So they will see you. Hallelujah. So there was no hiding at all. Then let me say a little bit about reputation. Just a little bit, and then we'll finish. Many years ago, I was running a fellowship in the UK, and it was a very powerful fellowship. We met on Sunday evenings. I mean, you can imagine, like, between 20 and 30 people sitting into a house, and we made quite, you know, some noise then. So there was this guy, he came in from Nigeria. He has a British passport, came in from Nigeria, but then he brought a girl from Nigeria that they were married, and then the girl did a runner on him. You know, the usual stuff. Just did a runner on him. So So this was a guy below 30, already divorced. So he was going to remarry, and because he was going to remarry and he was with me, I just said, okay, you know what's going to happen? I know you well. You're sitting under my teachings. Anybody that harasses you, just tell them you came from me. So I went to see this girl, and the girl's pastor was, you know, trying to say, who are you, blah, 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 blah. So the guy just dropped my name and my phone number. So the man called me, said, oh, I have to answer a person here. He said, you are his pastor. I said, yes. So what happened? And I told him exactly what happened. I said, he wants to remarry. Okay. Now, the last paper, because I've never divorced before, so I don't know how they do it. So, can you call decree nisi, decree absolute, decree? If I wonder where they got the word nisi from, I was a decree gyra. So they said, the last paper had not come. Now, I didn't know anything about that last paper, but, you know, the guy was already talking to this girl, and they were already making arrangements that, okay, that we're going to get married and all the rest. So because that man knew about that last paper, and the boy could not produce the last paper, so he just said, this boy is a crook. Just told the girl, you can't marry him. So, but eventually the last paper came. But you see, by then, the man had cancelled their date. So they would now have to fix another date. And the girl was so upset. So she came to my house with this guy, and she just came to tear for me that, look, I'm not marrying this guy again. That I'm not marrying him again. That look at the disgrace I faced, blah, 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 blah. And then she went on and on and on and on. So I now said, babe, calm down now, calm down now. Chidi, we've resolved this thing, everything. That just go ahead. She said, no. Ah, I thought it was a joke. We were on this thing for over 1 hour. And this was my boy. This was my boy. I could vouch for this boy. Oh, I just said, we have to sort this thing out today. The girl was adamant. I just told the boy, I said, you know what? Leave the room for me. Leave the room. Just go out. So it was just me and the girl. I just told the girl, I said, you know what? He is my boy. I stand for him, and I put my neck on the chopping block for him. If it goes wrong, call me. If it goes wrong, advertise me. I said, if it goes wrong, call me on the phone. I will be there in 10 minutes to talk to him. If it goes wrong, tell the world that I was the one who stood for him and destroyed my name. This was in 2002. We're in 2018. I have not had the first phone call. There are some of you here. You know, I have that teaching. I call it lone wolves. Many of you get hurt by just interacting with lone wolves. Who is a lone wolf? Somebody that nobody knows. Somebody that nobody can vouch for. Every time they call me, so I'll say this, every time people call, I said, who can we call that he can listen to? They will say, nobody. I said, so you trusted your life with a person that has no reputable reference in the house of God? Nah. So I just want to say that to you. If the person is not even in your church, go to his church. Go to her church to go and find out who he is or who she is there, who her father is and who her mother is. Hallelujah. It's very important. We had a strong community there, so you couldn't just bring a wolf from somewhere. Everybody knew everybody, and if we did not know you, we will go and find out information about you. They do it in Yoruba land. Of course, you know, they do it in a very sarcastic way. Said, Jekalo, Boya, Werewan, Ilewan, that kind of thing. Like they have mad people in their lineage. Hallelujah. But you see, in our own context, in our own context, we need to be sure. Because, let me tell you something, Timothy could never have been well known if Paul did not write letters for him. If Paul did not write letters for him, nobody will hear about Timothy. I'm serious. Nobody will hear about him. Paul made it clear that this guy has been through my knife. Before Paul took Timothy out on the missionary journey, what did the Bible say? He circumcised him. Wow. Now, the circumcision there, he said he circumcised him because they were going to pass through the Jews. And that the Jews, so that the Jews would not have an occasion to rise against him, he circumcised him. Now, the circumcision there in our own dispensation means that you have been through the crucible of that leadership. And that leadership can now say that this is our boy or this is our girl. We know what he or she can do, and we stand by the person. So if you are a member of this church, stay close to your leadership to a point where they can attest for you before the world that this is our boy, this is our girl, and we can stand for him or her. I have quite a lot that I can say that I can keep going for the next 3 hours, but let me just stop here.
Come on, put your hands together for him one more time. Hallelujah. So, very briefly, how many of you were in church this morning? Okay, sorry, because we have visitors. How many of you were in this church this morning? Okay, Pastor began to speak and he mentioned that the church of the future is the church that engages. So, attendance is not necessarily a significant factor of the church of the future. So the number of people you see is not a determinant of which churches will be quote-unquote popular in the future. So, as a result, we had started this. Anybody who attends the baptizing church knows that on Wednesdays, and as often as possible, we arrange that you can engage more with the message. So what was taught in service today, on Wednesday, we would sit down and discuss. We've already even started discussing on WhatsApp on whether, you know, Adam and Jesus, you know. So we'll be taking that further on Wednesday. But the point I'm making is that we always give people opportunity to engage a little more. So by the grace of God this evening, I'm going to have Pastor Shola come back up, but we wanted him to take a drink of water, you know, relax a little bit, enjoy Abuja. Sir, you've seen how they used to take light here, have you? That's how they used to do. So, but in the meantime, I just want, Sister Noella, we celebrate you. Welcome home. We receive you as a prophet. So welcome to church. And just know that you are welcome anytime you like. Amen? We will be taking questions like this. Typically, if you have a question, raise your hand. They'll bring a mic to you. You can ask. If, however, you want to ask a question and you don't want them to know it's you that asked it, you understand? We will give sheets of paper out, and then we'll move an offering basket around. It will go all the way around, so they won't know whether you are the one that put it or not. Amen? So, the ushers will give sheets of paper out now. Just go ahead and do it. Give to everybody, as many, you just take to each row, drop some, so that if somebody wants to write, let him write. And if you have a question, just raise your hand, somebody will take a microphone to you. I also want to mention that Pastor Shola and Uncle Shola, both of them, brought some books. And the books are in the back. They are called, the name of the book is Breaking Soul Ties. It's a very, very well-written book. Now, I started doing small, small on Twitter too. But my Twitter and Uncle Shola's Twitter are not mates. So, people start to ask me questions. So somebody asked me a question about, oh, how do you handle masturbation? I'll say, look, I know the scriptural answer, but somebody has written a book. So go and get the book. It's on Okada Books. It's on Amazon, right? Sir, it's on Amazon. Yeah, so it's on Okada Books. It's on Amazon. And the physical books are here at the back. Pastor Paul is holding a couple of them. They are 2,000 naira. Now, let us pick one. Even if it's not for you, pick it for the person at home. Amen? So, have they also taken the papers round? If you have a question, can you raise your hand? That's the thing about these questions. People typically don't raise their hand early until we ginger them. Then we don't have too much time. Oh, there's work tomorrow. Amen? So if you have a question, can you raise your hand? Oh, they are writing already. If you need extra sheet, wave your hand. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, receive with me one more time Pastor Shala Adio as he takes the stage. You are not clapping, no. So we don't have too much time. We have just 15 minutes. His social media handles are exactly like his name. So if you go on Instagram, he's Shola Adio. On Twitter, he's Shola Adio. On Facebook, is Shola.Adio. Yeah, well, Shola, you okay. So you can, you know, ask the questions directly if you are not. So I'm going to sit down now. I will start with a couple of questions while the ushers are bringing the questions and then we'll take on. So far, there were a number of things I already had in mind that I will ask. You were now saying them as a message. I was like, ah. So the first thing, since you covered most of the things I was going to ask, and one of my questions was, how can a young man cleanse his ways? And I know the book, Soul Ties, handles that perfectly. But you said something very, very key now, as you were rounding up. You asked, you said that reputation is very important. So, if you are asking someone out, you want to meet someone, you want to have a discussion, you should ensure that there's somebody like oversight that the person respects that can intervene. Awesome, sir. And, you know, it's completely in line with what we teach in our premarital classes, what we teach in the house. But my question is, not everybody had this opportunity before. So, what if you are already married to someone who does not have supervision? Can you just give us like 1 or 2 minutes of advice around that, sir?
Praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be in the form of okay, let me drag you to the pastor and let him become your overseer. Now the issue is, let's even imagine that we got married outside this church, mm-hmm. and we now start attending this church together. Now, in attending this church, we most likely, and if we are committed Christians, we most likely want to maybe like join a group. We may be in different groups, but it's clear that if you are in a group, or if you are in a house, maybe like if you belong to one of the house fellowships,
it then means that whoever is the leader of the house fellowship is looking after you. It doesn't necessarily have to be the pastor. And I know that most churches where the people are spread across the city always have cells that people attend. So really, the pastor is not actually meant to do everything. You know, the funny thing was that when I was preparing for this, I was asking God, what am I going to say here? There was something that dropped into my spirit, and I actually forgot to say it. Which was
say it, sir.
Which was that it's not only the pastor that God has set up to help in this area. There are experienced couples in the house, in every church, that can help you as well. So the burden is not only on the pastor. So this oversight we're talking about, it may just be another couple within the church that is helping you to get through your difficult phases. It could just be like, okay, you're confused about something, but there's this couple that you respect in church, and you just walk up maybe to the lady, you are comfortable with the person, just to ask a question that, how do I go about this, or how do I go about that? And you see, in the school of relationships, we're not just looking at one person to be the blesser of everybody. We're looking at a situation where the moment God has given you growth and capacity, you are also becoming a blessing to another bunch of people that are coming from behind. So that's my answer to it. It's like you would naturally, let's say, integrate when you come into church. So it's just going to happen. Let's put it that way.
Hallelujah. Can you give him a round of applause? So, Pastor Paul has a question. But Pastor Paul, we asked it last. You know, we know ourselves. So, your question will be long. So, let's take the questions from the audience and then we'll take yours. So, I'll just read out the questions, sir. And we'll try and handle it in the time we have. Now, number one. Is it okay to still hope for a marriage with someone who once broke your heart and whom you have had sexual relationship with?
Okay. What I'll say to that is, something good can still come out of something bad, in the sense that there's this scripture that says that God commanded light to shine out of darkness.
Yes, sir.
So there is a possibility. But the issue I have with it is that sexual history carries a lot of weight in your subconscious. It carries a lot of weight. And the moment that foundation has been messed up in the beginning, if both of you are not yet on fire for God, you'll be back into it. And more so if you are having a kind of infatuation or like a crush on that person all over again. Most times you're not desiring that person for a godly relationship. Most times it's actually being done out of loneliness. Because most people would consider their exes at times when they are vulnerable and when they are lonely. You understand? When I got born again, there was a girl that, before I got born again, we used to do bad things together.
Hallelujah.
So after I got born again, I knew inside me that, but boy, my waste time, man. Just tell the girl straight, babe, we don't end this one. Because, I mean, how is he going to walk? Will he walk now? He can't walk. So, I told the girl that, you know, we're breaking up, I'm not born again. She said, eh? Born again what? No, you can't leave me. I said, okay. So, she ranted. I was not prepared for the reaction I got. So, I just backed off. because I thought I was just going to say to somebody that, oh, I'm now born again and I'm going, and she just say goodbye. This thing was not joke.
Wow.
So after a while, when this discussion comes up again, and the girl knew my kryptonite. So once the argument starts, when the girl sees that, Bobo, you're born already, okay. Once she just knocks the keys like this, I just say, okay. So we just have that deep kiss. Then when she's gone, I said, Lord, forgive me. Now, this went on for quite a while. That's why I wrote the book, Breaking Soul Ties. It took time to break. Hallelujah. Even when after I broke mine, she did not break her own. So she started writing letters to me and ending the letters with Mrs. Adio, and she was writing other people. So it was not easy. So I know this thing. So by the time you are saying to me that you are thinking of somebody, I just look at you. You know what Yoruba say, Oju Male Okuro Loti. That your eye no come out for alcohol.
So, to put this in context now, you say, while there is a possibility, it's unlikely.
Yeah. Okay. It's unlikely that it will end well.
Hallelujah.
Except if the people have individually gone through the crucible of God, and they've dealt with the flesh and dealt with the soul ties. And most times, well, maybe a number of times, God will still have you together, but you need to ask God specifically. You need to ask Him specifically that, what do you want? And if He says that's the one, you still have to manage it under the context of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Or else, you're just going to slip back into the same cycle.
Hallelujah. How do you handle a situation whereby the girl's mother is refusing you marrying her daughter?
I had that situation too. I was the lady's father. And the first time we went to see him, he frog matched us out of the house. Out of my house! Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I've been through that.
Okay.
Now, as Christians, if what we did was, you know, like I said, God has an opinion, people have an opinion. So, for us, we decided that we were going to pray about it until the man changed his mind. And to pray about, we're seriously praying about it. And the man was, we went again. We still got frog matched.
Wow.
My dad went. He also got frog matched.
Ah.
So, but then, but you know, like I said to you, you know, we come from the Word of Faith camp, so we're just tearing out the word. One day, my wife just said to me that, let's go and see my uncle, because I spent some years with him. That at least, let's go and, you know, you go around the family, you understand, in those, in that phase.
Yeah.
So I went to see the man, and the man happened to work in a bank in Lagos. So pretty much, the man just interviewed me for a job. Said, who are you? How much do you earn? You know, where do you work? So he was just like, was interviewing me for a job.
Wow.
So when he was done, he said, I work in a bank, and come and see me on Monday. I think we might be able to do with your skills. And inside, I was like, now if I come marry. So I went to see the man, and he took me around. Now, this was, you know, our uncle who was older than her dad. Took me around the office and said, this is the guy that wants to marry Moni. Do you remember my niece Moni that used to work here some time back? So, okay. So the man now said, I've told the MD that we need to bring you in. And he said, I was still hesitating that, I'm not sure I want this job, but let's see. So the day the man said that will come, I came, went there, and then he said, oh, that there was, I think he had another, he had a political enemy in the office who also brought his own candidate. So they now said they will do interview for us. Oh no, Lagos. Gosh. So what had happened? Man, Lagos. So I got into this interview, and this guy was firing questions because none of them knew IT, so they actually brought in mercenaries from outside to do the interview. So this guy was firing questions and I was answering them. At some point the MD said, hey, your answers are long, so can you cut them short? So I thought I was even losing. So at some point one of the guys answered, who is the Oba of Ikeja? I just looked at it. I said, this is ridiculous. I just answered the guy. I said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? I said, I don't know. We will hold it against you. So I left. So when I came back to see my uncle the following day, my uncle just said, he was just ugly me, shouting. I said, what happened? He said, you have the job. I said, how come? He said, you don't know what happened. Now, when I left that place, I prayed in tongues till I got home that I don't know what's going on here. The man said, oh, that the other person, when they started interviewing him, that they were thinking it was not the same questions they asked that they asked the guy. So at some point, the MD just said, it looks like there's something wrong here. So the people that were interviewing the guy who interviewed me, they frogbacked them out of the country. And they now decided that we are going to give this guy the job. Now, when they brought the appointment letter, the money was lower than what I was getting, where I was. So I said, our uncle, you know, do, man. So sadly, I had to tell the man. Then the man said, hey, by the way, when is your wedding day?
Wow.
I said, we don't have one.
Wow.
So, what do you mean you don't have one? We have not made any headway that we have not been able to arrange with him. Why is it like, if I call the man by his first name, why is he behaving like that? No, don't worry, leave that to me. I'll talk to him. The man broke at it. He summoned the man to his house and said, look, these people must marry.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what you think about it. So he had to veto the man and command him to give his consent.
Wow.
But don't worry, we are best of friends now. When I spoke to the man on the phone, he said, oh, you know you are my son.
Hallelujah. Please, a round of applause for that answer. Okay, can you give us 10 minutes? I know the time is far gone, and we understand that people need to go, but just give us a little time. Let's finish, at least address the questions that people have asked. Amen?
Amen.
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 People ask her now. Sir, please, I was introduced to this lady in the U.S. The person who introduced her to me is a Christian, but I believe in accountability. So how do I cross-check things about her spiritually and morally?
Good question. Now, you see, we're not getting into what we call the smartphone generation, the smartphone age, the selfie age. And in our own days then, we had very strong communities built around the church and built around the fellowship. So you were most likely going to marry from your church or from the next church or from your fellowship on campus. But now we have what we call the smartphone generation, where it's possible for me to hook up with someone on the other side of the world and even have an emotional connection. I mean, I can talk about it. People have started relationships with me through social media that I didn't know about. They have broken up with me and they are moving on from me.
Wow.
So much is going on just by tapping your phone, pressing your phone. So you are catching feelings, you know, pressing your phone. But we have also seen a lot of tragedies coming out of this. We've seen a lot of accidents coming out of this. But my guidance for this is that whatever you will do with people you are relating with in real life, whatever standards, whatever criteria that you put in place, must be the same for people that you are connecting with remotely. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, even if I meet you remotely, first of all, I have like the way I operate is I believe the best of you.
Yes.
So I'm not actually suspicious when I meet you on social media. I just believe the best of you until something goes wrong. So I believe the best of you. I'll relate with you that way. But then if it now comes to getting into some form of business with you, maybe in terms of spiritual business, because I actually meet people on social media who are doing things for me. I have people who are doing things for me in Nigeria that I met on social media. So maybe like someone baking my cakes and stuff like that. So there are people that I met on social media. And there are, I already have like criteria on how to handle such people, and how to accept such people, and how to trust such people with anything sensitive. So I might not be able to go into the details, but for this particular scenario, you said he's a Christian. You said the person, if you said the person is a Christian, then the person must be attending a church.
Yes, sir.
So you could possibly request to speak with someone in that church, someone with reputation in that church. Since it's a decision you want to make for your life, one of you also could travel across.
Yes, sir.
So, but if you don't have visa to go to the US, you can do your stuff by phone and all the rest. And if it is vice versa, the person too should come over here to meet the people you said you belong to. To meet the people you said you belong to verify that things are actually the way you said they are. So that's very important. Even me myself, if I'm going to get close to you, I met you on social media, and I come into your town, I'll swing by your house, I'll meet your parents. I mean, there was someone I tweeted about yesterday, I actually went to her house, I saw her mother. So I'll go to your house. Your mother will say, ah, where's this guy from? I met him on social media. They should know your friends now. I'm your friend, so.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, last question, then we'll take Pastor Paul. I have been faithful to God, but why is it that we fall in love / get attracted to the wrong person, not approved by God, in brackets? I mean, God's love is meant to be perfect.
But I think the person has answered this to our own question now. Okay, let's look at it from this angle. You, first of all, Bible says that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if God is working in a certain direction, then you have a problem if the direction in which he's working is not agreeable to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a girl that I spotted in fellowship. Another one again.
Hallelujah.
And I really thought this was the person. I liked everything about her. I had already fallen in love with her before I started talking to her. And when I started, in fact, after the first conversation, there was going to be a convention then on campus. So, and I knew I was going to be busy running around during that convention. So I just told her that, you know, we'll talk more after the convention. So while the convention was going on, and she's taking praise and worship, and I'm in the congregation, while she's doing praise and worship, she will be winking at me at the back.
Hallelujah.
So it was like everything was green, 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 green. Come. So guess what? I spoke with her after the convention, and then I told the pastor that I'm thinking of this particular person. And then pastor said, oh yeah, fine. And then 1 week later, pastor just said, No, I changed my mind. You can't go with this girl. I said, why? Said, no. I think you are going to get injured. Okay. Did she tell you about this guy, this other guy that she's been dating? I said, yes, she did. She said she's not interested in the guy. Is that what she told you? I said, yes. She lied to you. So I said, Now, the problem was that the day I was going to start deeper discussions with the girl was the day the pastor came to intercept me in the girl's room. So when she was seeing us out, the girl could not look me in the face. So it was like she knew that the guy had some information. So by the time I left, I just knew that, boy, you are actually going to get burnt. So it took me 2 weeks to recover from the breakup of relationship that's not started. And I was now saying, but God, I really like this girl now. How come? And you see, the person I didn't ever think I was going to get married to was the person that came next. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am extremely happy with her. So the point is this. If you already know that God does not want it, that is your clue and that is your sign to back off. And I tell you, whatever God places in your hand is the very best for you.
Hallelujah. A round of applause for him. So, Pastor Paul, very briefly.
Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir, for this time.
Yeah.
My question is from the little talk or message you had with us. And it's as if you intercepted the thoughts, because I was just discussing the same thing with the senior pastor on our way to this place. Now, we have churches that are becoming larger, and majorly we have a lot of people that just gather together, and it's as if we're not necessarily seeing the impact. In fact, you gave us some kind of statistics now that you more than 50% or so, you know, of people in church have issues with a lot of the things that normal unbelievers also have issues with. And in fact, you even said that some of them, you can't even share them, you know, even as testimonies. So my question is, now, the church is supposed to be the place where, more like the last resort, where people come and they get, you know, they get the truth and they can understand what they are going through and how to get out of it. So if we have a church, or if we have people in church that can't share their stories, or we have a church where it's as if maybe when these things are shared, it's going to cause some kind of shaking. How do we resolve this? Where do we get to in church where people can, where we know that we're dealing with real people? Because the truth about it is that a lot of us come with masks to church. So what's your advice? Because I'm speaking for the baptizing church. We don't want to have that kind of church where people come. We want to know we're dealing with real people. People have real issues, and they are free enough to share, not knowing them, and be confident that nobody's going to judge them.
Amen. Hallelujah. What I think is, we need to, it's like our services are set in a particular way, our structures are set in a particular way that have not, they've been set in a particular way that have not made it very conducive. I've not made it very conducive for people to make such disclosures. And that has a lot to do with the quality of teachings, and also the fact that people who have overcome a number of these things successfully have not actually come out to describe their struggles, you know, with such things, And Okay, since we want to be real now. Some years back, when I was in Lagos, I was attending a very popular church. I won't mention the name. And I was a deacon in that church then, and I just had this, you know, habit of, you know, maybe like, if I'm fond of you, you know, like I'll call your name and just be greeting you, or just be saying nice things to you, that, hey, Pastor Biro, are you dead? So, I used to do that, you know, a lot with people who I felt that, you know, I just liked exceptionally. And 16 years after I left the church and I was abroad, there was a married woman whom I remember her, you know, I knew her husband. They also knew our family. So I just say like, hey, see Mrs. X, Y, Z. See that, you know, you're just looking good, you know, that sort of a thing. Just to sort of, you know, compliment her. And people were there. And 16 years later, when we spoke on the phone, she actually told me that whenever I gave such compliments, that she felt happy, and she's always had a crush for 16 years. Now, you see, we don't belong to a place where somebody married to somebody else can admit to anyone else that I have this feeling, I have this movement going on the inside of me. How do I address it? Because where are you going to start from? Who are you going to tell? You know, so... But with programs like this, when we organize programs like this and we tear away from the conventional service, then we can be open with each other. Also, we can also break out into, you know, maybe like if a church has like men's meetings, maybe like if you have men's meetings where you do men's prayer meetings and all the rest, men can get together and talk about their challenges. If you have women's meeting, women also can get together and talk about their challenges. And then also you can have youth meetings just for youth alone. Now, the number of questions the youth asked me in Kaduna, I could not finish them. The ones they asked me in November, as high as this, I kept them in my pocket. I took them along. The new ones, I didn't even touch the old ones. The new ones they asked, I still have plenty like this. And I'm taking them along with me. And you see, the issue was that they were in a church, but nothing, they didn't have that forum where they could ask questions. And you see, I think a 10-year-old girl, I knew the girl was 10 years old, I knew she wrote the question, would ask that, how do I handle it when I have a crush on a boy in class? Now, those are the sort of things that we need answers for. And we need them to be able to tell us, to ask us those questions, and then we'll be able to answer those questions if you have any experience in that area. So we need to just create a separate forum, you know, for these things to happen. So you create a men's forum, maybe a women's forum, or a youth forum, and then also, not that I'm trying to sell my market, but you see, I also discovered that a lot of people in church speak, they find it slightly more comfortable to speak with outsiders. I think it's a culture thing as well, because most of the people that I speak with are between the ages of 18 and 30. Now, seriously, these are people that I'm older than their dad. But then, when they share some of these things with me, I say to them, you come from a very good family. Why didn't you tell your dad this? Said, Uncle Shala, me, tell my dad, Cuckoo kill me. So this thing started from home. So it's like, you're not going to tell your dad, and of course you're not going to tell your pastor. So those are the things that, even as parents, you also want to create that avenue for your kids to express themselves. I mean, about 2 years ago, was it 2 or 3 years ago, I came back from Sweden, and I had to go into my daughter's room, because my wife said that, oh, that one boy did not talk to her in class and she's been crying. I said, okay. So I actually had to go into her room, sleep myself into her bed beside her, and I'll say, oh, yeah, let's talk. So what actually happened? So that I needed her to talk to me. Most of us need to have that sort of relationship with our children. Because if, you see, if they don't ask you that question, they could be asking the wrong person that question on the street. And once they ask the wrong person and they get the wrong answer, trouble starts.
Hallelujah. You still want to ask question now? There's work tomorrow. Okay, last question. The question cannot be more than 30 seconds.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, how do you basically, like, we're talking, my question has to do with the pastor, where you have situations where the senior pastor
Mawedo, don't go yet.
We want to take selfie with you, sir. Me too.
Don't go yet.
My question is, where you, I mean, we have the amount of churches are growing daily, we have a lot of pastors. So the situation where you have a pastor sleeping with their member, and of course, you know, women also cannot really, like you said, who am I going to tell? Where am I can't tell my father, I can't tell somebody, but she feels violated. And the pastor is the, I'm assuming, is the only, there's nobody to report him to, he's the senior pastor. So in such situations, what should women do? And what should be the case if a sister comes to say, look at what happened, Pastor so-so-so just has been sleeping with me. What will be your response to such? How do you address the situation, that's the pastoral situation, and the sister? Do you run to another pastor that is senior? I mean, I'm sure you get my question.
Hallelujah.
So how do you handle that pastor, the sister that is complaining? How do you balance it in the church? Because these things happen. We've heard the stories, and you know they will say, don't talk about any pastor. Don't gist about any pastor with anybody. But these things are true, and we are hearing it. Especially when it's
okay,
direct.
We've heard the question. All right. Thank you, sir.
Do you want me to take it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Number one is not just that question alone, but for everyone here. If you are involved in any fornication or adulterous relationship, your number one step is separation from that partner. That's your number one step. That's the first thing I tell you to do. You have to separate and destroy any further opportunity for it to happen again. Now, if it means leaving that church, so be it. If it means leaving that church, so be it. So that it must not happen again. So you have to destroy the opportunity that is being created for it to happen. That's number one. Number two, there also has to be disclosure. Maybe measured disclosure, but there has to be some disclosure, and I'll tell you why.
It's like me too, I have questions. Just consider.
Now, the reason why there has to be disclosure is that if there's no disclosure, it's also unlikely that it will stop. It's also unlikely that it will stop. Now, most times, disclosure inevitably, you know, might lead to a loss of reputation or disgrace or that kind of a thing, but we need it in some way, shape or form. Maybe not necessarily to the public out there and they'll start bashing the church. No. But a disclosure that ensures that the person who much is expected of is made accountable. You know, it's made accountable that, look, this cannot, you know, like, continue to happen, you know, that sort of a thing. Have we stopped the streaming?
No, we are still streaming.
Oh, we are still streaming. Oh, okay, so I won't be able to say this. So
we are not forcing the streaming, it's okay.
if you assure me that you pause. So nobody's going to hear what you are saying. Okay. I've actually, you know, I tell you that I get phone calls a lot. I've actually had a case where a lady reported.
I want us to end here. Can you put your hands together, rise to your feet, and give an ovation to Uncle Soladio?
Hallelujah.
Properly. I want to ask that nobody leaves. Pastor Tokwe is going to come up.